Angie Farrow. I've been a playwright for all of my adult life, well, certainly since I was 20 years old. I love writing plays. I always think that once I've written a play, I'm never going to write another one. But it's a bit like having babies, I think. You get that feeling that you need to. I think I'm slightly addicted to the idea of writing, to the experience of working in theatre. But I also teach, and those two areas of my life, the writing and the teaching, have always been really strongly connected. And I learn about writing through teaching. I learn about teaching through writing. So there have been twin occupations throughout my career. As for Greek theatre, I just remembered when I was thinking about what I would say today that my very first play was a kind of parody of Greek theatre. We had been studying, when I was a student, we had been studying the plays of Aeschylus, and I'd found them almost impenetrable and very different from anything else I had ever read. And I think my way of kind of trying to get to grips with the Greek form was to write a play of my own, which kind of used the dynamics of Greek theatre, I guess. And so I used, I had a chorus. I had a kind of an absurdly tragic story. You know, a lot of the elements of Greek theatre. So the mythic aspect was there, but it was actually a send up of modern materialism as I saw it in those days. So I used all the language of Aeschylus so it was a send up. It was a parody, and it was very funny. By the time I'd written it, I kind of had a clearer idea about what Greek theatre was. But I think it's interesting that was my first play, because I do think, probably unconsciously as much as anything, I have been very influenced by the Greek form. And I love the idea of the Greeks theatre beginning as a dance. I know there's some controversy about that, but I believe that. I believe that it began as a dance, as a collective movement, as a almost like a collective celebration, and then gradually became formalised. And I like this idea that the actors kind of grew out of the chorus and became, you know, more important people. And then those more important people began to have dialogue, and then that dialogue became elevated, and the stories in that were produced around that dialogue were often very large, muscular, painful, epic, difficult stories, which kind of confronted all our ideas about the human condition and were both warnings and celebrations of human life, really. I kind of love that. And I think what I have tried to do as a writer is to certainly enter the space of the mythic, because it seems to me that if we're involved in any kind of art, we've got to look at the bigger picture, that it's not enough to just deal with the immediacy of our lives. So that's always the question, and the question I pose to my students when I teach is, what are the mythic elements? How can we find some universal truth that's going to bring this home, that's going to make it resonate with people at any age? How can we tell stories that are going to really, really connect with the heart and make us mindful about who we are? So I guess that's been, I mean, it sounds a bit grandiose, but I think even my short plays attempt to say something. Sometimes they're bigger than I can cope with. Sometimes my plays go beyond what I know myself. And certainly when I'm writing them, I'm thinking, where the hell is this going? How big can it get? And I was just actually reading a short play that I'd written. It's not so short, a one-act play that I wrote a couple of years ago called Memento, which is about a woman who starts by actually it's about a couple, but it focuses, the protagonist is actually the woman. And she starts by dying and she ends by being born. So it's a kind of, you know, it's absurd in many ways, and obviously larger than life. But in many ways, it's about the dying thoughts of a woman, you know, in her dotage. She's sick. And with her husband, she's reflecting on what her life meant. So it's got all these kind of elemental dynamics, but it's also about life and death, which, of course, is what most Greek theatre plays are about. And I like the being a bit preposterous when I write. You know, like when I started writing 10-minute plays, they were always about absurdly big issues, which were of Greek proportions. You know, with the idea being, how can I put in as much information in 10 minutes, or how can I tell the biggest story that you could possibly tell in 10 minutes and get away with it? So that's often been a focus of mine.